you're in the whole 6010.
Fantasy Focus Football is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico today and see all the ways that you can save. It's Friday, September 30th, final day of the month. Can't wait for the big month of October, often the best month on the sports calendar. Field, Mike, and Stefania, the usual Friday crew here. Lots to get to in a busy week four, which includes a Sunday morning game in being played in London. So get those lineups set before you go to bed on Saturday night. But before we get into our Friday previews, we, of course, are going to recap Thursday night. And in the interest of a lot to get to, we're going to dive right in. And before we can talk about the game and the fantasy fallout from the Bengals win over the Dolphins, the story that has been dominating the headlines for about 12 hours now is the injury sustained by Tua Tagovailoa. It's one of those that causes a visceral reaction. That much is for sure. Stefania, what can you tell us about the latest on Tua?
Well, first of all, I want to say that, of course, we all only want the best for Tua. And I think the best news that we got out of Thursday night was that there was nothing that warranted an additional procedure or an extended stay in the hospital, and that he is able to travel back to Miami with his team. So that was the best news that we could have gotten last night after seeing him taken off on a stretcher and taken to the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. Now, the question becomes, what's next for him? Tua obviously diagnosed with a concussion and is essentially placed in the concussion protocol. There's potential for more testing when he returns home. There's through the concussion protocol, they will certainly monitor him very closely for the first couple of days just to check his resting level of symptoms. And then that has progressed through to gradual increased activity per symptom tolerance. The standard concussion protocol involves cardiovascular initiation, then progressing to strength exercises, football activities, and ultimately clearance to return to play, as well as neurocognitive. That's the brain processing testing. Players take test before the season. They have baseline numbers, and after a head injury, those tests are repeated. A player cannot be cleared till they return to baseline. And even talking about clearance, ultimately that clearance comes from an independent neurological consultant, someone who is outside the team. So I don't think anyone's thinking about that right now, but in case you were wondering what the steps might be, those are the next logical steps. And meanwhile, everybody just happy that Tua is able to be back and be with his family and be home and things certainly could have been worse.
Scary situation. There are probably a lot of platforms that we could discuss all of the factors involved here, but most importantly, we're concerned with Tua's health and well-being going forward. So get well, Tua. We wish you the very best. At the risk of sounding glib, we are going to discuss the rest of the game and get into our game previews with some fantasy thoughts here. And Mike, we'll be quick on the Dolphins here. Tyreek Hill mashed again. The idea of him decreasing value in Miami probably was ill-fated. Still a very, very, very elite wide receiver in fantasy. I thought we saw not quite a changing of the guard, but a busier Raheem Mostert than I feel like I've seen through the first 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, so he's actually led that backfield and snaps three straight weeks now. Right. So after week one, when it looked like Chase Edmonds might get all the carries and the passing down work, it is completely flipped. And Raheem Mostert was actually out there when they were in comeback mode late last night and had a couple targets as well. Yeah. Exactly. So the snap difference was Mostert 50, Chase Edmonds 16. Mm. Not even close. I mean, we are getting to the point where Edmonds is going to be droppable. Like, if he keeps playing 14, 15, 16 snaps, it's just not going to work. He's not even going to be worth a roster spot. He'll be insurance at best. So, look, at the same time, though, you don't really want to start either of these guys because Mostert had 15 carries in that game. That was most this season, but only at 81 yards, right? Yep. So, still hasn't scored a touchdown this season. For now, I think Mostert is a flex if you're in rough shape. Certainly a non-PPR, he's more appealing. Edmonds, a bench-worthy player, but should be nowhere close to lineups. And if you need to drop him for someone else, go for it. He's just not, he's not producing and he's not on the field right now.
Jalen Waddle had for his first sort of dud game of the season, just 5.9 fantasy points. He'd been up above 15 in each of the first three. It's clear though that the hierarchy is very obvious, right? It is Tyreek Hill and then it's a gap and then it's Jalen Waddle. But I think you live with the occasional duds from Jalen Waddle and feel fine about it. Let's get to the Bengals and a better night from Joe Burrow. For those that were optimistic surrounding Joe Burrow coming into the season, like myself, the idea was what we saw last night, right? An efficient passing performance. Fortunately, the offensive line held up their end of the bargain. Just one sack for Joe Burrow. He finishes with 287 passing yards, two touchdowns. And on a night in which his number one wide receiver, or at least his number one in terms of public perception wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase, was relatively kept in check, Burrow still finishes north of 20 fantasy points. Joe Mixon, if you're sitting there saying to yourself, like, wow, Joe Mixon, another busy day. I got to tell you, as someone who rosters Joe Mixon in a couple different leagues, I am grateful for the Bengals' insistence on playing this guy, because as ugly as it is on a per touch basis, that volume is just wonderful. I mean, he can't run the ball at all, Mike, and they still keep giving him the rock.
And he looks fine to me, right? I don't think it's his fault. I mean, he looks like he's eluding tacklers and getting 3 yards instead of 1 yard, right? He looks fine out there. A lot like Raheem Mostert, by the way, who looks awesome. Yeah, I mean, that guy looks great.
He's a good player.
Just eluding tacklers. Amazing. Yeah. I thought we saw two of the better pure runners in the league last night, but Mixon is nowhere to go. The blocking that's allowing all them sacks on Burrow is the same department of run blocking, right? And it's not working so great. So his yards per carry is atrocious.
But if he keeps
pushing for 20, 22 touches a game, he's going to be in the RB1 conversation. So just keep firing him up.
Another game with three or more catches last night for Joe Mixon. Now they go for like 3.5 yards apiece.
Yeah, but it's that extra point you
get.
If you play PPR scoring, it is a massive benefit. And this night could have been better. 17.4 fantasy points. He got stuffed at the goal line like literally five times last night. So even if it's inefficient, it works for fantasy because it is tough to find running backs that you can count on right now. Quickly on the wide receivers, I don't have a conversation, so to speak, on Jamar Chase versus T. Higgins.
Should I drop him? Is that what you're going to say? Three bad games in a row?
Yeah. It has been a rough three-game stretch for Jamar Chase. We did have a month-long bad stretch last year as well. Maybe the thought a month into the season is perhaps the gap was a lot narrower between he and T. Higgins. Mm-hmm. Because if you go back to the end of last season, this is like a 10-game sample size where Higgins has been basically step for step with Jamar Chase during the regular season right now. It's crazy.
Yeah. And we had them ranked like, what, 3rd and 10th?
Yeah.
You know, right. So it was pretty close. It's not like we're shocked that T. Higgins is producing near Jamar Chase. But here's the thing. I was thinking about this on the drive in too. You heard about this during the game last night, right? They're doubling Chase and they put Xavien Howard on T. Higgins last night, one-on-one, right? That's going to happen sometimes. It doesn't happen as often as people think it happens, but it's going to happen sometimes. But those number one alpha receivers like Jamar Chase and Devontae Adams and Justin Jefferson and Calvin Johnson and Andre, you can go on and on and on. It's not like they finish 37th in fantasy points most years because they're doubled all the time. They produce. They get their production. It's going to happen for Jamar Chase. Don't worry. If he's on your team, you're fine. If he's not on your team, this might be your window. This might be your window to go try to trade for him because he's going to have a 160-yard, 2-touchdown game, and that's going to be too late.
A little comforting, Stefania, that a guy could have a dud and 12.1 fantasy points.
Exactly.
Yeah, look, I mean, we were talking about this with some of the star receivers who've had lower than maybe what you expected numbers, and not to panic. Let's not panic about it.
I mean, DJ Moore would do anything for 4 catches and 81 yards right now, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm DJ Moore managers. It's not DJ's fault, obviously. Yeah. As DJ addressed the media yesterday, seemed to be, I don't know, I couldn't quite exactly capture what his emotions are.
He's a very
diplomatic young man.
He's a great
teammate.
It was a great one.
Go catch the clip on Twitter. He's just a great person. He's not going to ever sell someone out like maybe I would if I were in his shoes.
By the way, the question was teed up to him as if he was thrown under the bus, which was not the quote at all. Yeah. That happens all the time, right? They were trying to get a reaction, understandably, based on how the season has gone. That's not really what Matt Rhule said. But anyway.
So it segues nicely, though, because we discussed that game yesterday. But what maybe we didn't pay enough attention to or give enough credence to is the idea that Christian McCaffrey might not play on Sunday. So, Stefania, let's reset. Where are we at with CMC? Because he has not practiced or did not practice on Wednesday or Thursday.
That's right. And he's listed with a quad issue. Now, you know, I hesitate to use the word injury. Like, there aren't many comparable words, right? There aren't many synonyms for injury. Right. Ailment, you know, but we don't know whether this was a quad contusion, like a bruise to the thigh, or actually a quad strain where you have damage to the muscle fibers. And that could portend differently for what happens on the weekend. And I heard Christian McCaffrey not even in the locker room yesterday. Obviously, he didn't practice Wednesday, but that is a normal veteran rest day for him. The difference was he was listed on the injury report because of his quad. It didn't say veteran rest day. Yep. And then Thursday, not around. I don't necessarily blame him for not being in the locker room because if you're Christian McCaffrey, you know what's coming.
Totally. And he is on the practice field today. The team is practicing as we are having the show right now. He's back on the practice field. Seems like there's a chance he'll play. And if he does, you'll start him. But Mike, if he sits... Mm-hmm. Is there a direction you have to turn? Is it Chuba Hubbard? Where are we going here?
I would go Deontay Foreman because he is the best shot to score a touchdown and could have potentially 15 carries and maybe 2 targets. It's not great, but I trust him more than I do Chuba Hubbard. You know, we saw that last year. Yeah, like Amir Abdullah and Chuba Hubbard shared that backfield a lot down the stretch. It wasn't very profitable from a fantasy perspective. Yeah. Actually, we saw that with Foreman too, replacing Derrick Henry with Dontrell Hilliard in kind of a committee of sorts. So I don't think I'd want to start anyone, but if I had to pick one, and you might have to, right? Right now, right. Foreman might be on waivers. You could scoop him up as insurance for Christian McCaffrey. And if he's out, you could plug him in there. Just hope he scores.
The good news is that this year they've run the football a ton. They turned Christian McCaffrey into Derrick Henry.
They have.
So maybe Deontay Foreman can be like, oh, I did that low level last year.
Yeah. And they've run it so much that actually Christian McCaffrey, I believe it was last week, had a 19% target share, which is not far off what he normally gets, but it was such a low volume game that it was like, what, three targets?
Like
it
looked Seahawks like a bad game. I'm not kidding. They're like, in terms of the run proficiency and just the number of plays that they are running per game, it is very, very surprising. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into our normal game previews. And as I mentioned earlier, we have a London game, the first of several international games this season. So again, either get those lineups set on Saturday night or get up early on Sunday morning. We begin with the Vikings and the Saints. I believe the Saints are actually the home team here. They're going to be wearing their black helmets. Those are pretty slick. Mm. As far as lineup locks go on your screen, you see Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, Alvin Kamara. You're playing them. I would be remiss, though, Stefania, not to alert people that both Cook and Kamara have been dealing with injury issues. Is there any concern about them not playing?
Well, I think Dalvin Cook's going to play. I think everybody wonders how will he play. And I would just say he's played with this injury before. This is the shoulder that he subluxed last week. He plays in a harness. He's done that before and actually had really good performances. So I think the fact that he was a full participant yesterday is good. In the past, he has missed a game in between. Yep. This time doesn't look like he will. And Alvin Kamara doing better with the rib injury and certainly expected to play.
We did get an update, though, on a couple of other Saints this morning, notably quarterback Jameis Winston and also wide receiver Michael Thomas.
Yeah, we alerted you to the potential to keep an eye on Michael Thomas earlier this week that it might not be nothing with this foot/ankle injury that he's dealing with. So Michael Thomas already ruled out for this game. Jameis Winston listed as doubtful. He hasn't been moving well. Look, between the ankle, the back injury, just I think this is they're like, okay, okay. Andy Dalton actually got some practice reps last week when there was some question about how healthy Jameis would be. And I think between that and then him getting so many this week, we're not going to see Jameis.
Solid veteran backup, that much is for sure. Jarvis Landry also in the injury report. Sounds like he's got a shot to play. We'll
see. Game time decision is what I expect from him.
Here's the good news. You can pivot because if he's ruled out, it'll be at 8 a.m. Eastern time. Right. You have a full day of options to choose from if Jarvis Landry is out. So, all right. So as far as question marks for this game go, Mike, Kirk Cousins has been a useful quarterback. The Saints defense, though, as we saw against Tom Brady and others, not the defense you want to be playing your quarterback against. And Cousins, I don't think was many people's like number one option leaving drafts. You'd avoid this week?
I would. He's quarterback 14 through 3 weeks, right? So even in some better matchups, he hasn't delivered top end production. And he's 20th on my board, right? So it's a quick conversation. Cousins not a good streamer this week. Some weeks he will be, not this week.
I want to ask you about sort of in a normal circumstance with Michael Thomas and also Justin Jefferson on the field, sort of the complementary, the number two wide receivers in their respective offenses. Adam Thielen, I think you've made it clear recently, like you'd prefer to stay away. The upside seems to be tapped there. Is that accurate?
Yeah, he has not been over 61 yards in a game. His target share is dropping. It's down to 17%. So if you start him, you're just like, I want one of them trademark Adam Thielen red zone touchdowns, right? If you don't get that, it's probably going to be a little underwhelming this season.
Knowing that there's no Michael Thomas, would Chris Olave qualify as a lineup lock for you?
When I went from Jameis Winston to Andy Dalton, assuming he starts, he dropped a couple spots a little bit. You wonder if Dalton's going to push down the field as much, right? That was something we loved about Olave. We talked about it all offseason, right? Winston loves to go deep downfield. That's a perfect fit with Olave, which is counter to Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry being more possession receivers. So I hope he keeps pushing it to him because Chris Olave leads the NFL in air yards, without Michael Thomas, they're going to have to use him, right? Unless it's going to be the Traquan Smith show and Marquez Callaway and Deontay Hardy, which who knows? It could be. It could be. They love those guys. They're still around. But I was just going to say, Olave, I still think is at worst a wide receiver three.
You made this point a couple of days, reminds me yesterday, about how sometimes coordinators like to just plug guys into the same position. And I think you were discussing the Cardinals at the time, right? That like, just because even if your number one is out, it doesn't mean that your number two moves into the number one role. It just means that the person who's the backup to the number one goes and plays that role. Mm-hmm. And the number two stays where the number two has been playing, which maybe Chris Olave remains that deep vertical threat. Dalton, not a bad deep ball thrower, but certainly not on the level at least the willingness that Jameis Winston often exudes to throw the ball down the field.
We've seen that this season, right? He just drops back and fires it deep to Olave over and over and over.
This is me crossing my fingers right now, hoping that maybe Andy Dalton unlocks some Alvin Kamara passing game usage this weekend. We have seen very little of it from Alvin Kamara. Would love to see more of it. Perhaps Andy Dalton is the right fit for him amongst quarterbacks. Let's move forward here to the Commanders and to the Cowboys. Cowboys looking to improve to 3-1. Cooper Rush, again, starting at quarterback for Dallas. As far as lineup locks go, smaller list than you might expect. Antonio Gibson, running back 16 on the board, and CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver 13 on the board. Get to some injuries here, Stefania. I already told you the news about Dak. He's not going to play. Sounds like he might play in week 5. We'll discuss that next week. But Michael Gallup and Dalton Schultz both missed last week. Gallup hasn't played at all this season. Could we see the debut?
This could be the debut of Michael Gallup. I know we talked about it last week, but there was some hesitation, I think, on the part of the player. We have to remember he's just 8 months removed from this injury, but he wanted more live practice time, and so he got it. Full pads practice, getting out there, doing some more facing an opponent so you get a better feel for getting on the field. So I do expect we'll see Michael Gallup, but the Cowboys have long said that even in his first appearance, he would probably play a controlled number of snaps. And then Dalton Schultz had the PCL sprain, missed last week. If you saw Todd Archer, I believe, posted a picture of Dalton out at practice with a brace. He's in a PCL brace that checks the knee from shifting into hyperextension. I expect he'll play with that. So he might not be at his top speed, but Dalton Schultz knows how to get where he needs to get, so it'd be good for them to have him back.
Full participant in practice on Thursday was Dalton Schultz. Gallup, wait a week before you start playing him. Would love to see him back on the field, and it sounds like we will, but I would like to see him playing more than, let's say, 30% of the snaps before I feel comfortable with him in my lineup. So Carson Wentz was good to us early on in the fantasy season, but Mike, if you're looking to, and there are a lot of tough quarterback matchups this weekend, like a lot of them. We've talked about this already, but Matthew Stafford, we've got quarterback injuries, obviously, no Dak still. Even, you know, Aaron Rodgers not been Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady hasn't been Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes faces the Bucs, et cetera, et cetera. Carson Wentz has been good to us. That being said, this Cowboys defense is no joke whatsoever. I would be fading Carson Wentz. You
agree. I have him 16th. Definitely a downgrade for this matchup. And think about this. He's coming off a game against the Eagles in which he took, what, 9 sacks?
Yeah,
right. 9. He's the most sacked quarterback in the NFL now. No surprise after that game, 3 weeks in. Dallas is number 1 in sacks, so it might be worse this year. Maybe it's 10 sacks this week, right? So definitely avoiding Wentz. This might be trouble. I thought the Washington O-line would be better than this, but that was rough last week, for sure.
And the Eagles are very good up front, too.
They are, but that's my point. Dallas is, too. Oh, right? Micah Parsons is coming now. I mean, it's going to be rough.
Parsons might have 9 sacks on his
own. Not a streamer.
So I'm going to let you handle the Curtis Samuel part of the wide receiver conversation. Thoughts on Curtis Samuel? I mean, I feel like the calculus is fairly simple. They should be getting him the football as frequently as they have, and if they continue to do that, he should return value most weeks for you.
38 opportunities, that's carries plus targets, and 30 touches. They're number 1 at wide receiver.
Number 1. Wow.
You don't bench that.
You don't bench
him. Lock that guy in your lineup. I know he took a step back last week, but much like Wentz, right? We saw that coming. We talked about that all week. Yes, Wentz and this offense were great weeks 1 and 2, and great matchups. Probably going to come back to earth a little bit against Philly. They're playing Dallas here. It's probably not going to be those astronomical numbers from weeks 1 and 2 in this matchup, but you're still starting Curtis Samuel. He's number 1 in touches at wide receiver.
Terry McLaurin was once again a topic of conversation for offensive coordinator Scott Turner, who said, I believe, something to the effect of, like, we know we need to get him more involved. He is still the heartbeat of our wide receiver group. He needs to be the leader. And I'll take that, to be honest with you. I know that coach speak can be very fleeting, but it's such a logical thought from Scott Turner that I'm going to choose to take him at his word. Now, he's still a little bit lower than you normally expect Terry McLaurin to be in our wide receiver rankings, 28th. But, Mike, the good news is last week there was concern over the matchup. It's specific to the cornerbacks. Cowboys, I don't think, offer the same challenge in the secondary.
Yeah, and by the way, he has 75-plus yards in back-to-back weeks, right? Yeah. So he is trending up. The target share is working its way up. Trevon Diggs has shattered him in the last 3 games between these teams and has had some success, especially last year. He had a big game against him, 7-for-90 and a touchdown in 2020. But last year, one game was really low volume, only ran 18 routes, had no catches, and then 3-for-40 in the other game.
That 18 route? Was that, he got hurt in that first one?
I think it was just, I think Washington was winning. They didn't, it was just a run. Was that Thanksgiving? Maybe?
Might have been, whatever.
Where that game where they blew them out. I can't remember. But anyway, one low volume game, one low production game. So maybe some mild concern with that matchup, but it is Terry McLaurin. I don't think we're at the point where you're benching him yet.
I agree. And again, the comments from Scott Turner are just so logical, right? Like, you should be wanting to get the ball more to Terry McLaurin. So let's hope that he does indeed get the football more on Sunday. For the Cowboys, these two running backs, Mike, we continue to rank Ezekiel Elliott ahead of Tony Pollard. There are some mitigating factors for both of them, but at least Zeke seems like the best bet to get those goal line carries.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they are committed to him. We'll give him that. I mean, that's the thing Zeke has going for him right now. But he is 15th in carries, which actually is not as high as maybe you'd like. He's 55th in receptions at running back, and he's 39th in fantasy points. And I was looking at expected fantasy points, right, just to kind of see if maybe it's going to come around, right? Like, the usage is there for Zeke, and maybe we'll push him forward. He's 38th in expected fantasy points. Pollard's ahead by one, so he's actually had a better opportunity to produce fantasy points. So it is committee right now. Zeke has a slight edge, 9 more touches, but Pollard's outplaying him right now. He's been more efficient, and it just hasn't happened for Zeke from a fantasy standpoint. Again, I think there's just enough that he's still in that RB2 mix, but not a guy. You might have two better options. You might at this point.
Well, he went back-to-back duds and then a solid game in week 3. And by solid, I don't mean spectacular.
He scored a touchdown.
Right. He had a solid game, not spectacular game, just a solid game for Zeke. So he is like clinging on or holding on for dear life in that RB2 conversation. We're going to discuss the Titans and the Colts, plus so much more in just a minute. First, kick off your investing journey by exploring exchange-traded funds. Exchange-traded funds, known as ETFs for short, create baskets of stocks, bonds, and other assets that you can buy in a single trade, helping you avoid putting all of your hopes on a single draft pick. At Global X, they specialize in ETFs that track emerging technologies like the rise of electric vehicles and strategies designed to generate income. Visit globalxetfs.com to discover more.
Fantasy football season is here, and that means more of what you love: the teams, the rivalries, the stats, trash talking friends. This season, you know your favorite players are hydrating with Body Armor sports drink on and off the field. Your favorite fantasy stars like Kyler Murray, Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, and the GOAT, Chad Pennington, they all rely on Body Armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best and give you the trash talking points you need. And hey, this fall is a great time to up your game too. Made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, and coconut water. It's a great time to grab some Body Armor sports drink for yourself. Everybody is focused on staying active and healthy, and hydration is an important part of that. Body Armor sports drink, more than a sports drink. Now through November 1st, buy any one Body Armor product at your local convenience store and scan the QR code in-store to enter to be one of the hundreds of winners to receive $100 in DraftKings prizing. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Open to residents of U.S. 21 and older.
We're back here, and let's discuss the Titans and the Colts. And the locks for this game are some players that, well, they should be no surprises for you. On the Titans side, it's Derrick Henry, of course, after a bounce back week last week. Jonathan Taylor, who checks in as RB2 on the board. And Michael Pittman Jr., wide receiver ace. Stefania, just to sort of ease some of the concerns, Jonathan Taylor did not practice on Wednesday for the first time in his life.
He was this week's Christian McCaffrey of old, right? I mean, Jonathan Taylor has never missed a practice, apparently dating all the way back to high school. I'm actually not that surprised. I haven't gotten to know him a little bit and hear about his routine and how much he tries to take care of himself. But no worries. He was back. Not only was he back in practice, he was full practice on Thursday and is clearly ready to go.
Good news there. Mike, this is kind of an easy game, right? So mention those three locks. Is there anybody else that has sort of piqued your interest? So you're saying to yourself, I could tuck myself into that player in this game. Not really, right?
I don't think so. I think Robert Woods still belongs on benches, right? In terms of expected fantasy points, he's 78th, he's 69th in pass routes. Yeah. This was the concern. Low volume Titans offense, right? It's just not happening for Robert Woods, even though he did have a better week 3. But again, not enough for me to put him in my lineup. And then the only other player, I mean, Alec Pierce should be on benches as well. If he's on waivers, I think second round rookie had a decent game last week, missed some action, was injured early in the season. But in this offense, if they start scoring points, he could have some value down the road. Not yet, though. So there's not much here.
Play Derrick Henry, play Jonathan Taylor, play Michael Pittman Jr.
What he said.
Bears, they go to New York to play the Giants, two teams that are 2-1, perhaps surprisingly to some, as we look at the locks in this game, slim pickings, but Saquon Barkley, of course, makes the list as RB3 this week. There's a case for him as RB1 this week, especially with the injuries to both CMC and Jonathan Taylor, even if Stefania said NBD on Jonathan Taylor. You may notice that David Montgomery not on that panel. And why is that, Stefania?
David Montgomery got rolled up on last week. We saw that he was listed with 2 body parts on the injury report, ankle and knee. Doesn't surprise you. Now, they think that it was relatively mild. It could have been a lot worse. Yeah. But nonetheless, he hasn't practiced yet. And Maybe they're just going to play it safe this week.
Yeah, seems unlikely we'll see him on the field, which opens the door to Khalil Herbert. And Mike, he had nearly 160 rushing yards last week on 20 attempts, a pair of touchdowns. He's a good player. And as we know, this team is committed to running the football, and game script should be on their side. This feels like, I know we didn't have him there in the lineup locks because of the injury consideration, but if you have Khalil Herbert, he feels like a must start to me.
Yes, and not only are they committed to the run, this is, I mean, since I've been charting like since I've been charting like game script adjusted run rates, they're just off the charts. Like, it's just ridiculous what they're doing right now. But last year they were more balanced. It was a previous regime, and we did have four straight games where Khalil Herbert filled in for David Montgomery at 18 plus touches in every game and averaged 97 yards per game. Now, not a lot of passing game involvement, so he was more of mid-range RB2, but that's where he belongs on our rankings, and that's where he is in our rankings right now. Also, a really good matchup. Check this out. First of all, Giants allowing the most fantasy points over expected to running backs this season. They've allowed 69 or more scrimmage yards to five running backs this season. How many games have they played?
I think just three.
Just three. Five running backs have at least 69 yards against them already. Khalil Herbert's going to get a bulk of the touches here. Tristan Ebner, the rookie, will probably get mixed in, have a few, give him a break, but it'll be the Herbert show. Like him a lot. Agreed. I mean, essentially, if he's on your roster, he's going to be a lineup block.
No Leonard Williams really impacted that Giants run defense. Mm-hmm. Sounds like he may not be available.
They should have kept
Sunday.
That B.J. Hill guy. Remember him?
Oh, come on. About him back-to-back days of just crushing them for that trade. Let's go to the Jags and the Eagles, a game that, of course, is a reunion of sorts, as Doug Peterson returns to Philadelphia. Lineup locks for this game, quite a few of them. James Robinson, who's been so good this season. Christian Kirk, who's been so good this season. And then Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown, and Dallas Goedert, who've also been amazingly good this season, right? Especially the first two that we mentioned there.
By the way, how many teams have no losses this season?
I'm going to go with nine.
One.
Who might that be?
Right here, baby.
E-A-G-L-E-S.
I wonder why Eagles. Mike asked that question. Oh, my gosh.
I had to wear the shirt today. I mean,
I know.
31 teams have a loss.
Eagles do not. Yeah.
So
is that what you say?
Fly Eagles 3-0. Very Eagles cool fly. For them. Good to see. And so five lineup bucks. This is a juicy fantasy game. In a different week, Trevor Lawrence might be a lineup lock, Mike, but as you've highlighted so many times with great pride, this Eagles defense is just basically a no-fly zone right now.
Yeah, they've been outstanding, fifth best against quarterbacks so far. They are sixth in interceptions. They're second in sacks after what they did to Carson Wentz last week. The lowest yards per attempt allowed. They've been terrific. So Trevor Lawrence is a guy who we might rank top 12, top 10 often this season if he keeps playing at the level he is at right now. But I'm at 14 this week, and you're a little bit lower. We don't feel it's a great streaming week. He's been fine, right? 18 plus the last 2 weeks. It's not like he's putting up 35, and you have to consider him even in a tough matchup. You don't have to this week. I think you probably have a better option.
By the way, if he crushes it on Sunday, that'll be the story Monday morning. Absence of an unforeseen happening. If Trevor Lawrence goes to Philly and they win, he plays great, it'll be the real-life football story. It'll be the fantasy football story, because if he does that, we'll be saying, there's a lineup lock for you next week. So Trevor Lawrence with a massive opportunity.
I'm just saying, in that fan thing we did for ESPN Plus going into the season, I said they could be this year's Bengals. And you guys, while I was making my case, you and me and Damien were just laughing at me the whole time I was talking. I'm just saying, 2-1, one of the best teams in the league so far. I'm just saying.
Wow, Mike. You sound like Tyler Fulgham right now, defending your picks only 3 weeks into the season. Travis Etienne, just not right now belonging in lineups. He has been dominated in terms of touches and snaps by James Robinson. Now, the good news for Travis Etienne is that he has seen his carry count increase week over week over week. He had 13 in week 3. That is good, but the lack of like elite passing game utilization offsets even those increase in carries here. I've got him as running back 39 on my board, but there have been a couple intriguing wide receivers in Jacksonville, Mike, not named Christian Kirk. Marvin Jones a little bit, but Zay Jones has been especially fun to watch. I think he leads the team in catches right now. He's been really good. Does he deserve to be in lineups this week?
I think so. I like him a lot in DFS as well. I know he missed some practice too.
I was just going to say the only thing I've been doing, let's see what happens today. Yeah, and didn't practice at all on Thursday. So let's see what he does today. But if it's no big deal, then
yeah, if he's a go, I think you start him. Again, it is a really tough matchup, but he does move around the formation. So, and he's 25th in fantasy points coming off a high volume game. And I think this would surprise people. 8 or more targets in 6 of his last 7 games going back to last year. You know, he's really come around and has been producing.
3 years, $24 million. This was not like a flyer. This was a real investment by the Jaguars in a player that showed himself to be a capable guy late last season for the Raiders.
Yeah, he was a second round pick, and it just took him a while to get rolling. Didn't work out in Buffalo, but he started to come around. Up. Yeah.
Devontae Smith and Miles Sanders are good enough to be right on the fringe of considerations. Mm-hmm. I think Smith might be closer to a lineup lock here, Mike. How do you feel about those two players?
Yeah, he's progressing up as Devontae Smith, number one scoring fantasy receiver last week. And they're starting to use him more in the intermediate area. Last year, his problem was a lot of boom bust deep throws. And the Eagles are pass heavy now, so they can support two wide receivers. And it's been happening for him. So I agree. He should be in lineups 25th on my board, 21st on yours. And Sanders, I just want more passing down work, right? The rushing volume has been there. It's been pretty good. 15 plus touches every game, but 13 yards and 6 targets. I'm worried that's going to, at some point, they're just going to pull him out completely in that role. He's already not producing. It hasn't been there. And Kenny Gainwell looks pretty good in that role. So a little worried about that. That hurts his upside. That's why Sanders is this low and not, 15th or something on our board.
Let's get to the Bills and the Ravens. Perhaps the game of the weekend. This game is being played in Baltimore. Lineup locks again. Lots of them. Josh Allen, quarterback one on the board this week, even though I have Lamar Jackson as quarterback one. Consensus for ESPN is Josh Allen there. Stephon Diggs, who's wide receiver one this week. Lamar, and also Mark Andrews, who is tight end one in our consensus ranks. I don't think any major injury concerns, Stephon. J.K. Dobbins had a chest issue. All good there or no?
Yeah, he came back and had full practice on Thursday, so I think J.K. Dobbins will be fine. He got his feet wet and came out of the game with no setbacks, which I think was really important for him. I would pay attention to Gabe Davis, though, because he got downgraded on Thursday with that ankle. And, he played a controlled amount in the last game, but then Wednesday after the practice was limited and then didn't practice at all on Thursday. So just keep an eye on that.
Yeah. And he was 91 snaps last week. Ridiculous for Gabe Davis. Like maybe he's just, who knows? Like that's a lot of work. Maybe you come back and you're like, I'm sore. I'm like, geez, what is going on right now?
How many targets did he have in that game?
Not many.
Like six, I think.
How I said they play off ball sometimes when they first come back. So they're out, they're running around, but they're not necessarily being targeted that much. But the fact that he didn't look like he felt himself. There's a couple pictures of him from practice that would suggest that maybe that ankle's not feeling great.
Okay. By the way, a little context on that snap number. It's the eighth most by a wide receiver in a non-overtime game since year 2000.
Wow.
It was like over 20 years.
Busy guy.
Eighth most.
So I'll ask you about him first then, Mike. If he plays, remember after week one, we were like, there's a lineup lock for you. Is he a lineup lock this week?
Davis, 32nd for me, so I think a flex. I wouldn't say lineup lock right now, just based on what we saw last season.
Target
last
share is low. It's like 12% right now.
Yeah, it is. The good news, though, the counter to that is his air yard share is 28%. And if he keeps getting 28% of the air yards in the Bills' offense,
and especially against this Ravens defense that has been vulnerable against the pass, as we know. They had that miserable fourth quarter. But even last week, I know it got buried because of Lamar's brilliance and Mac Jones getting hurt. But like, Mac Jones was throwing the football pretty. Devontae Parker had like 160 last week against this Ravens secondary. So still an area of vulnerability. That much is
one of the bigger surprises. I know Baltimore's still battling some injuries, including in the secondary, but I thought they'd be better than what we saw in the second half of last season, and they have not been so far. They've been really, really bad.
Pass rush has been very lean for them.
Jason Pierre-Paul.
Devin Singletary, Mike, he is clearly the Bills' preferred running back. Does that mean he should be in your lineup?
I think so. I'm 24th, so he's a flex. Season high 9 carries last week, and also 12 targets. That's a career high for him, so a lot of involvement. His snap share was 74%. That's closer to where he was down the stretch last season. Remember, they were kind of using other guys. They kind of, this keeps happening, right? They're just like, we want to work other guys, and they're just like, he's just so good. We have to keep him on the field. That's what happened last week, and it's a good sign. So I think he's a flex.
So for the Ravens, beyond Lamar Jackson and also Mark Andrews, there are two guys that I think probably most prominently matter in fantasy. J.K. Dobbins is going to play, it sounds like. Obviously, he played last week. But what we saw is that the Ravens are going to continue to be very methodical with their utilization of J.K. Dobbins. He had 2 targets. That's fine. He had 7 carries. That's also fine. And there was an opportunity to maybe score a touchdown there, but it seems like he's going to need to score a touchdown in order to pay off on Sunday, because it wouldn't surprise me if, again, Justice Hill has somewhere between a half dozen and 10 carries. You can laugh, but still, it's a real role for him, right?
No, I'm laughing because you come out of that game, you think John Harbaugh, I'd be talking about how he is this super talented, great J.K. Dobbins on his team. And who did he talk about?
Yeah, Justice Hill.
Justice Hill, about how great Justice Hill is, right? So he might not be going away anytime soon.
And Rashad Bateman, same deal, is that you've got 3 games, obviously, so far this season. He's got 8 catches, less than 3 a game for Rashad Bateman. Now, the good news is that if he turns one of those into a 50-plus yard touchdown, you're going to feel fine about your decision to play him, but the volume is low. The Bills defense is a little bit less scary this week because they have so many injuries right now in that secondary. We'll see whether Jordan Poyer plays. Obviously, Micah Hyde is out for the year.
And the Ravens might be getting Ronnie Stanley back.
That would be useful, very useful to help offset like that very good Bills pass rush. So Bateman is wide receiver 33 in our ESPN consensus ranks, a low-end flex play because of the volatility so far this season. Chargers go to Houston to play the Texans, who are gritty and scrappy as far as lineup locks go. You've got three of them in this game, all on the Chargers side. Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, and Keenan Allen. Sort of an asterisk next to two of those, Stefania, as we got to see whether Herbert and Allen play on Sunday. I think we have a pretty good feel on Justin Herbert, but Keenan Allen?
Yeah, Justin Herbert put in his first full practice since he's had this injury, so that's definitely encouraging there. He didn't look comfortable in last week's game, and I imagine as he goes through the game, he's going to get less comfortable if he gets touched. It will really depend on how the game flow goes. Keenan Allen, a little bit of concern. He was reportedly seen leaving the practice field with one of the athletic training staff yesterday, so it's not clear what that meant as far as his hamstring issue, but he has not returned to a full practice yet. So I don't think that it's a guarantee that he's going to play this week. We'll see what happens in today's practice.
Josh Palmer, not ranked right now, but if Keenan Allen sits, there is a case for Josh Palmer as a low-end flex consideration. We've seen him over the past 2 weeks be a far busier guy. As far as other players in this game, like we got a couple guys that are sort of like right on the fringe there, like certainly solid and certainly have some upside in Mike Williams, Damian Pierce, and Brandon Cooks. Big Mike, though, this is just what we've been talking about for 5 years now.
Yeah, we, you know, sometimes in the offseason, we break stuff down and we're like, we get it right on the money. So sometimes it's off from what we expected. Like Williams is exactly what we talked about. It's just boom bust. He's been under 20 yards twice, but he's scoring touchdowns. He has one huge game. You just start him and you hope. You just hope it's one of those weeks.
Do you know how like there are times where like whether it's in your email, whether it's in your text, where like you start to type something and it guesses the rest of the sentence for you? We should have that where it's like, and with Mike Williams, and then we don't actually say it, but either on the video or the audio version, it says, you know what you're getting here. Either 20 points or 2 points. You play Mike Williams, you hope for the best.
You just shake the ball. What do you call it?
The eight ball. It just hasn't changed.
Shake the eight ball and see what it says.
It has not changed for many, many years. Damian Pierce trending in the right direction here, Mike. He's been much, much better. Been a top 30 running back each of the past 2 weeks, including a top 10 play last week. And I think this Texans team can hang close enough. The game script should be on his side.
Yeah, we want more passing down work, but there are so many good signs here. 35 of their 38 running back carries have been his over the last 2 weeks. Only four targets to my point there, but he does have 16 or more touches and 77 or more yards in both of those games. And much like we thought the Bengals fixed their O-line, we thought the Chargers fixed their run defense. That has not happened. They are allowing the second most fantasy points over expected to running backs so far. Damian Pierce in a good spot this week.
That's right. I know. We talked about him the other day on the show because I picked him as one of my players to watch this week. I'm very happy about Damian Pierce.
And Brandon Cooks, I know it's been a tough sled so far. He's yet to find the end zone. He had just two catches last week. So here's the good news. Got a 30% target share. That's a massive number. Yeah. I've been surprised by Davis Mills so far this season. He was, I thought, sharper last year than he's been so far this year. Whether that changes or not on Sunday, we'll find out. But no Joey Bosa for the Chargers. We'll see on whether J.C. Jackson's available for them. He's missed 2 of 3 games so far this year.
Yeah, and ankle's still dealing with swelling, is my understanding.
So there's some significant injuries on that Chargers team on both sides of the ball that maybe this game is a little bit closer, or when Houston has the football, maybe the defense is just not what you normally expect out of it if they are fully healthy, which with the Chargers is basically never.
Yeah, I think you stick with Brandon Cooks for now because of the volume, right? He's top 10 in targets, and if you knew that going into the season, you would have drafted him earlier than he went, right? So he's just a really good player. He's been good for so long, and the connection with Mills was fine last season, so I don't think there's any reason for major panic here. It's just a slump to start the season. Granted, the efficiency has been atrocious, but he's top 10 in targets and it's Brandon Cooks. I think you give him another week here and see what happens.
He's 22 on the ESPN consensus board. Let's get to the Packers and the Patriots. And as far as locks go, this is a very, very light board. How about this? Just one. Wow. Aaron Jones, top 15 running back in our ESPN consensus ranks. RB13 to be more specific. As far as injuries go, Stefania, there are several. Most notably, Mac Jones, who has not practiced yet for the Patriots this week.
Yeah, and dealing with a significant high ankle sprain. So this notion that people talking about like maybe he could, he's not playing. He's not playing.
Okay. We'll see whether he's even on the practice field later on today for the Patriots.
He has been, to be in his defense, he's been going to meetings. Like they're talking about, like he's staying very involved. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about a severe high ankle sprain where there's a discussion about surgery or not, you're not playing the first week.
So Mac Jones would be replaced by Brian Hoyer on Sunday. Jacoby Myers has also been banged up. He's been dealing with this knee injury. Stefania missed last week's trending and back really in the right direction.
Well, he's been involved, limited in practice. You never know exactly what that means, a little or a lot. If he doesn't do more in practice today, I'd say there's still some worry.
Okay. He didn't practice last week until I think Friday or maybe not at all. So it seemed like there's even the fact he's on the field is a better sign compared to where we were last week.
That is true. Yeah. But you know, I never know with the Patriots which way it's going to go.
Never know. Yeah. All right. So Mike, there's a couple injuries. There's one lock. And a lot of questions here. Let's talk about the Patriots offense first. And as far as the running backs go, feels like there's been a changing of the guard. Ramondre Stevenson takes over as a top ranked back from Damian Harris. And the Packers have been a little bit vulnerable against the run so far this year.
Yeah, this is interesting. I think we should talk through the dynamic of this backfield because Ramondre Stevenson coming off a pretty good game, right? Yeah. 16 touches, over 100 yards and a touchdown. The big one, though, was a huge edge in pass routes over Damian Harris, which was not something that existed in weeks 1 and 2. They were tied in that department. 21-6 edge for Stevenson. That's a good sign for him and is going to get him closer to being a guy we're going to start each and every week. But as for Damian Harris, still a hard player to bench. And the reason is this. He has 11 or more carries and a rushing touchdown in his last two games. He has a touchdown in 16 of his last 19 games. Mm. That is unbelievable. I mean, how do you bench a guy that scores pretty much every game? So and he's on pace for 45 targets. 45. He had 21 last year. That's more than double. I could do the math.
Yeah, and I don't know. This is maybe logical, maybe illogical. We'll see on Sunday afternoon. But backup quarterback starting, might you be a little bit run heavier than you have been through the first weeks of the season? Mm-hmm. And if they are, then that probably bodes well for both of those backs. Not as much for the pass catchers, Mike. I think if Jacoby Myers plays, though, I feel like he is like a low-end flex consideration, right?
Yeah, and J.R. Alexander is banged up, which doesn't affect him necessarily because he's not in the perimeter, but it does kick Keyshawn Nixon to the slot, their fourth corner. That's who Myers would see most of the time, right? He's outside where Alexander is, but Nixon moving inside would be big for him. So, because they'll put Rasul Douglas outside. So that could potentially be a good matchup as well here.
Yeah, he's just so steady when he actually plays, Jacoby Myers is. So if he plays on Sunday, a low-end flex consideration. All right, so we haven't mentioned Aaron Rodgers yet in this conversation. Mm-hmm. He's not a lock. And I said a couple of days ago, like, this Patriots defense isn't the 85 Bears, but they're also not a sieve. So I think this is like a reasonable matchup for Aaron Rodgers, but the signs continue to point towards a guy that the upside is limited right now in fantasy.
Yeah, he is trending up, though. He has 16 or more fantasy points in his last two games, so it's not like he crushed you, right?
Right.
But, you know, on the other hand, you mentioned the Patriots defense. They allowed 39 points to Lamar Jackson last week. Now, I'm not Lamar's saying Rodgers is on that level right now. Yeah, I agree, but we wouldn't be shocked if Rodgers threw three touchdowns in this game, right? So I think he's borderline. I have him 13th on my board. If he was your top quarterback and you don't have a better option, I think it's fine. Yeah. He's startable.
I've got him at 12. ESPN consensus rank is number 11 for Aaron Rodgers. It's just different pass catchers, right? Mm-hmm. He certainly could throw three touchdown passes. We just don't know who they're most likely to go to. In previous years, you'd say, oh, three touchdown passes? Great. Devonta Adams is going to have 25 fantasy points on Sunday. A.J. Dillon, ESPN's 21st ranked running back this week. Mike, coming off of a quiet game last week against the Bucs and Patriots matchup, anything to sort of ascertain from facing the Patriots on Sunday?
Yeah, not a ton on the matchup, but he's just, again, this is what I kind of expected coming into the season. He had the big week one, and then he's come back to earth under 8 fantasy points. The last 2 weeks, targets have been basically cut in half. He had the 7 in week one. He has 3 the last two. So, you know, this is what you're going to get from him. He's going to be a little boom bust.
I was misspoken earlier when I said that, hey, if Aaron Rodgers has 3 touchdown passes, we just don't know who they're going to go to. We do know one of them will go to Alan Lazard because Alan Lazard has a touchdown in 5 straight games. He is our highest ranked Packers wide receiver right now. Now, you may be saying, what about Romeo Doubs? That's a fair point. We have Romeo Doubs inside our top 50 this week, but after a quiet week 1 and week 2, it was hard to know exactly what we're going to get out of him. So I think Romeo Doubs, probably a smart bench stash for right now. Maybe in a super deep league, you could consider using him this week. But we'll see whether last week was the start of something or whether it was an outlier and that he would be 1 for 4 in his first 4 games in terms of fantasy useful games to begin his career.
Yeah, I'm being a little cautious here. I have him 46, so deep league flex right now. But cautious optimism because the big number is snaps. He went from 48% with 8 targets the first 2 games to 89% with 8 targets last week, and he looked good. He caught all of them. I mean, You know, Aaron Rodgers, right?
Exactly.
He has that trust issues with his receivers.
We said he caught them all. Exact thing earlier in the week. And that to me, I'm like, and who doesn't love to say Romeo?
Yeah, although I cannot type his name. Whenever I type his name, I type D-O-B-B-S. I cannot type D-O-U-B-S.
He's it's not just my Joshua brain. Dobbs' brother.
I cannot do it, though. My brain will not allow me to type that U.
Romeo Dobbs, D-O-U-B-S. Hey, before we come back, we're going to do a quick break here in a second. But before we do that, just a little bit of an update. The Panthers have officially announced Christian McCaffrey as questionable on Sunday against the Cardinals. So as you might expect, he is questionable to play on Sunday because of that quad/thigh issue. We're going to come back in just a moment, dive into the AFC West, a must win for the Raiders. But first, did you know there are currently over 2.4 million podcasts in the world, including the one you're listening to right now? Feels like more than that, to be honest. It takes a lot of people to help bring these podcasts together. There are so many people that make these things work, from producers that help with content to a video team that helps make us look good, to those that help on the social side of things, help distribute our product. Needless to say, hiring the right people for those roles was important. And whether you're hiring for a podcast or for your growing business, there's only one place that makes it easy: ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. ZipRecruiter uses its powerful matching technology to find and match the right candidates up with your job. You can easily review these recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So if you're a fan of this podcast and you want to try ZipRecruiter for free today, you need to remember our special URL. It's ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
We back. Let's keep things rolling here. Let's get to the AFC West, the Broncos, and the Raiders. I said a must win for the Raiders, who are 0-3 right now. Lineup locks for this game include a few. Javonte Williams, Cortland Sutton, who's been awesome this year without scoring a touchdown yet. Davante Adams, he's got a touchdown in every game. And Darren Waller, who's been fine so far this season. It's a big injury on the Las Vegas side here. Stefania, Hunter Renfrow missed last week's game. Any chance he plays on Sunday?
It's not looking good. He still hasn't practiced this week. Yeah. So no sign of him yet. Obviously, it's Vegas, so we won't know the practice status till a little bit later. Yeah. Check and see what he does. But when you're coming out of concussion protocol to go from not practicing at all, it's hard to imagine that you would get there.
A little bit of logic would be helpful here, right? Yes. You go from not practicing at all to all of a sudden clearing concussion protocol.
Right. Unless you've been doing some of these things. We always talk about it being non-linear. Yep. However, this does not look encouraging.
Seems like he will not be available on Sunday. We'll discuss a potential replacement here in a minute, but let's dive in some other players. And Mike, Russell Wilson's been maddening so far for fantasy this season. Not even a ton of passing yards. It's just been ugly. Mm-hmm. Do things change on Sunday in what feels like a better matchup than last Sunday night, against San Francisco?
Can you, first of all, can you believe that Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, none are top 20 scorers or receivers or at quarterback right now?
I believe it's 26 and 27 for Brady and Rodgers. Yeah.
Unreal. Like, who would have
just
thought
like
all
we
four.
All projected.
I know. It's been surreal. Wilson, like you said, 2 touchdowns in 3 games. I will say this. The Raiders have allowed at least 18.7 fantasy points to all 3 quarterbacks they have faced so far, to your point. So maybe there's some reason for optimism here. Again, a lot of quarterbacks are tough to rank this week because they have tough matchups. So I have Wilson at QB9 here. So I do think he's a viable starter in this matchup.
I think it's kind of a bounce back week for a few quarterbacks. One we haven't talked about yet, Russell Wilson also being on that list. He is quarterback 10 on my board right now. Again, removing a couple of players from last night in Joe Burrow and Tua as well. Melvin Gordon keeps playing well, man, and playing a lot, but is that enough to get him onto the flex radar, Mike, or maybe only in non-PPR leagues?
Gordon?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Okay. I mean, the Raiders not good against quarterbacks. Also not good against running backs, which helps him out a little bit, but Javonte is still the 1A there. He's going to be the 60% or so guy, although I don't know, somehow Mike Boone was playing, 20% of the snaps last week. I don't get it. They should be utilizing Williams even more. But that Gordon's going to continue to be limited by Williams. Williams is getting the bulk of the work.
Coming into the season, we thought that Jerry Jeudy could be a lineup lock in most weeks. It has not been the case, Mike. He's so low volume right now. He has barely seen the rock over the past 2 weeks. Is he healthy this week, Stefania? Has he been on the injury report, Jerry Jeudy, or anything there to...
He's actually not even on the injury report, which surprised me because last week we were talking about how uncomfortable he was after falling on that football and getting hit and being a question mark coming into the game, but does not appear.
It's a really interesting discussion here for a second, Mike, because there was the notable interaction between Jerry Jeudy and Shannon Sharp on Twitter. And I thought that Shannon's feelings are some that I've seen shared by people on Twitter elsewhere that basically like Jeudy did all his route running, yada, yada, yada. But it's been a lot of hype and not a lot of production. The jury is still out on Jerry Jeudy. He has 4 career touchdown catches so far. Should he be in lineups this week, or is he one of those guys that needs to prove it before he goes back into your lineup?
Yeah, 36 for me. So I'm considering him a borderline wide receiver 3 in 12-team leagues and at the very least a flex option. We've seen his explosive upside in week 1, right? He had the 100-yard game at the touchdown, had the long touchdown catch, one of Wilson's 2 this year. But then last week comes back to earth with the 2 for 17. Only 13 targets so far, but... 6.5 per game, if he's in that window, is that enough for flex value for a guy with that raw talent and an offense we think will be better in a good matchup? I think the answer is yes. If I have Jerry Jeudy, I'd start him this week.
Okay, I'm a little bit less optimistic. I'm just wide receiver 44 this week. I'd like Jerry Jeudy to earn his way back into my lineup before I trust him going forward. Is there a player that's been a good NFL player, been a good fantasy player, has been okay this year that's been discussed less than Josh Jacobs? Like, what is there to say? Like... It's fairly lukewarm, right? The role is consistent. The output's been fairly consistent. It just hasn't been a particularly good start for anybody on the Raiders right now, Mike. Should he be inside your lineups this week?
Yeah, this is another guy who's just kind of done what we talked about the last month, like all through August, right? Yeah. We expect him just to be that kind of boring, high floor, sort of low ceiling sort of player. And that's what we've gotten. He has 73 or more yards in every game so far. And the thing that gives me some optimism, after seeing a grand total of 2 targets the first 2 games, he was up to 5 last week. A good point in the right direction. He's their main guy. He's their most talented back. That's what we kind of leaned on throughout the last couple of months. We were like, he is their best back, and that's going to mean something, and it has so far.
This has nothing to do with week 4. I'm asking you all to store this away. Raiders are 0-3 right now. They put the Broncos and the Chiefs in the next 2 weeks. In the event they fall to 0-5, the NFL trade deadline is about a month away. Josh Jacobs, final year of his contract. Would this team consider Josh Jacobs at that point of the season expendable? Just not trying to start any fires here. I don't know. I don't have information there. I'm just using logic, right? That like, if this team continues to struggle, a contract that would be palatable via trade, it's an interesting one because if you're 1-5 or 1-6 at the trade deadline, it might be something to consider. Again, nothing to do with week 4, just sort of making a mental note of it. Last thing here on the Raiders, Mike, Matt Collins, who was great last week, 8 for 158 and a touchdown. What a cool story. Great hair, Stefania.
Love him. Yeah.
He's awesome.
Exactly. We talked about that.
With no Hunter Renfro, is he in lineups this week?
I mean, I still, if I'm 48th, I'm not getting too carried away here. And the reason is I'm a little suspect of an age 29 full-on breakout here. Yeah. But at the same time, you can't completely ignore this 90% snap share, 17% target share. He's 8-plus targets in his last 2 games. And he's actually 4th in receiving yards over the past 2 weeks. So I just feel like there's still a chance that he is 2-for-10. Yeah. You know, it's just the nature of the beast with these secondary receivers, especially in this offense. Also, they're playing Denver. Fewest yards and fantasy points to receivers. No receiver has cleared 13 points against them so far. They've been really good in that department. Wow. So I'm told they have a good receiver on that team. The Raiders have a good number 1, Devontae Adams. Yeah, I've heard of him. But he'll be on Patrick Surtain. So maybe, I mean, if you need a dart throw flex, if you need a dart throw flex, sure, or a DFS punt, but not close to a guy you're locking in.
You know, it's funny, as I mentioned earlier in the week about how Josh McDaniels loves Matt Collins. And I was like, I don't know what this really means. And then like the day after that, or even later on that day, Josh McDaniels had like an even like lay it on thicker endorsement of Matt Collins. He was like, he stands for everything that we want, just kept going on and on and on. So I do think he'll play. Whether he produces consistently, I think is TBD, but he will play a role in this offense. Sunday Night Football, a good one. And For those out there that are listening or watching, if you have been impacted by Hurricane Ian, we want you to know that we are sending our best. I know that thoughts and prayers don't exactly do much right now in the wake of what has been a devastating storm, but we're thinking about you. We are keeping you in our thoughts right now. And if watching your beloved Bucks on Sunday night is a slight bit of reprieve, that makes us feel better about this game. This game is being played in Tampa. As far as lineup locks go, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Leonard Fournette, and Mike Evans, who is back from suspension. And now here's where we get busy, Stefania, injuries. We could do an entire Bucks hour on injuries. As we know, Chris Godwin and Julio Jones have been banged up recently. What is the likelihood that either of them is available on Sunday?
Yeah, so I think we're going to see Julio Jones. We've been limited in practice this week, but I think they're going to control his practice. But it sounded like he was much improved even going into last week's game. They just waited an additional week. So I think we will see Julio Jones back. Chris Godwin, still unclear. We've always thought they'd be conservative with him coming off the ACL injury. Now, he was out of practice on Thursday, but they do rest him. You know, he by design is one of the players they rest. They do that with their receivers. So Russell Gage on the injury report, but he's been playing through this hamstring issue. I feel like they have managed it really well. He's kind of in this steady state for them. And Leonard Fournette off the injury report, so that's good. Although I would turn this to you guys when you're ready to talk about him. What do you make of Leonard Fournette saying, like, I need to extend my career like the other guy, because the volume of work that he's been doing is unsustainable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the problem is that, like, there's no one else. There's nowhere else for them to turn right now, right? They don't trust any other running back.
That may be, but I'm sure he's looking at it going, guys, I'm not built for this kind of volume of work.
Harrison Butker for the Chiefs. We'll see if he returns on Sunday, because they play late Sunday night.
I'm not feeling it for Harrison Butker this
week. Might be smart to pivot.
Oh, you're not? Oh, I just picked him up in some leagues. I have to make some changes. Well, I had to make some changes.
He's a Matthew good kicker, Wright. But that ankle is still iffy.
Do they have a kicker on the Matthew practice
Wright.
Squad?
They signed Matthew they did sign Wright, Wright to the practice squad. Yep. So, Mike, again, Sunday Night Football, you'd have to have some serious clarity here. But if we got clarity on Sunday morning that Chris Godwin or Julio Jones would be available, would you be playing them?
I think so. Okay. Chris Godwin, I feel like if they feel he's ready to be activated, I'd have a hard time benching him, right? He's going to have an opportunity to score a touchdown. And even if he's limited, you would expect it to be limited to not run blocking. That's what we see often, right? They'll just have a huge percentage of their snaps will be routes. That would be my expectation. And if you get 6 or 7 targets from Chris Godwin in this offense with a chance for a touchdown, that's going to be enough for at least wide receiver 3 consideration. So yes, if he's active, I'll use him.
Let's talk about a couple of chief skill guys. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who the signs are concerning, even the production is ridiculous right now. He's RB4, but there's some considerations here. You're still playing him, no doubt about it, or are you concerned on Sunday night against the Bucks?
That's like the running back position in a nutshell right now. Mm-hmm. A guy that's barely playing in terms of touches is number 4 in fantasy points. It's running back. Yeah, he's been top 15 every week. He has not cleared 8 carries or 12 touches in a game. The efficiency, look, we love efficiency. It's great, but it's off the charts and unsustainable. 4.2 yards after contact, not going to keep that up. 100% catch rate, not going to keep that up. 3 touchdowns and 34 touches, not going to keep that up either. These things will come back negative. To earth.
Like, he didn't keep up those numbers last week. Did you see how many rushing yards he had?
I was just going to say, zero. Zero rushing yards.
He had 7 rushes for 0 yards last week.
Okay, know.
So, is that bad?
You know, sounds led bad. It does sound bad.
But he had a touchdown too.
who led the Chiefs in running backs and snaps in week 1?
I'm going to go with Jared McKinnon.
Week 2. Jared McKinnon?
Week 3.
Jared McKinnon.
That's right.
Okay. So, 1, 2, 3. Just to be clear. Yeah. Would you be starting McKinnon over Helaire?
I'm not yet. Not key? Yet. Okay. The touches are still going to Edwards-Helaire. The point of that is not to say McKinnon's the better fantasy option. He might be at some point.
Yeah.
But it's to say that CH's ceiling is very limited, and that's going to show up if this volume does not change. And again, the Bucks' fewest fantasy points to running backs. They're great. That's a tough match.
What I'm hoping for on Sunday night is somebody who rosters CH in the War Room League. 5 catches. That's what I want. I don't care about rushing yards. I will take 25 rushing yards if he gets them. That might be pushing it, but I would like 5 catches for 45 yards and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Like, because what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Why do teams bother running against the Bucks? It ain't going to work. Vita Vea is going to eat you up for lunch.
Right.
Juju Smith-Schuster, and also dropping pass coverage. Mike, Juju, I mean, this is emblematic of all Chiefs wide receivers. And by the way, Marquez Valdez-Scantling added to the injury report because of an abdomen issue. Would you play any Chiefs wide receiver confidently?
Not confidently. I think Smith-Schuster is a flex option. He had that really bad game. His other 2 games were just inside the top 40. The only thing I would say in terms of optimism is two of the three games, he's had eight targets. If you get eight targets in the Chiefs offense, it's probably going to lead to good things. So there's enough there for me to consider him for my flex.
Last one here. I think Tom Brady bounces back. And it's especially, mm-hmm. it's contingent upon having those wide receivers. If Tom Brady has just Mike Evans on Sunday night, I'd feel differently. But I got a feeling Tom Brady shows out on Sunday night, primetime game. The chips have sort of been down recently, right? He's been so bad this year in fantasy. No more than 15.9 fantasy points. I've got him as quarterback 8. Now that is, of course, after a couple of players have been removed. I think Brady bounces back on Sunday night. I got a feeling on this one.
I think so, because getting those guys back is not just going to affect the efficiency and the touchdowns. It's going to affect the volume of the offense, because they've been, to your point, you've mentioned this a few times, they've been running the ball. They're leaning toward the run. That's going to change back once they have healthy receivers. It's going to mean a lot of good things for Tom Brady.
And probably their willingness to throw the football more.
Exactly.
You have Mike Evans as opposed to, you know, with all the guys that have been out there recently, just a different category. Now for one more matchup, gear up this fall with Body Armor Sports Drink, more than a sports drink. We go to Monday Night Football. Stefania's 49ers hosting the LA Rams. Lineup blocks, there are three of them. We got Cooper Kupp, believe it or not. Yeah, we got Debo Samuel, also believe it or not. And then George Kittle, who was fine last week. Nothing great, but still fine. It's hard to find tight ends. Let's dive in. No major injuries to report here, Stefania?
I'm just not even going to speak about it. Yeah, because right now that it appears that the people that we would care about for fantasy football are going to play.
All right, so a few question marks here, Mike. Let's begin with Matthew Stafford. Another avoid week this week, because that 49ers defense is nasty.
Yeah, he's 25th in fantasy points. Has no top 10s this season. Niners, fewest passing yards against, second fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. And last year, three games against them, he averaged 15.9 fantasy points per game. Not too good. So 18th on my board, and avoid if you can.
Two on that one. Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. Quarterback 25, 26, 27 in fantasy through 3 weeks of the NFL season. Wow. Two running backs, Cam Akers, Darrell Henderson, Mike. Do we really want to play either one of these guys on Monday night?
We do not. I mean, pointing the right direction for Akers last week. They split snaps for the first time, Akers and Henderson, and he had a 12-4 carry edge, did Akers, but only three pass routes. Mm-hmm. Not three targets, three pass routes. That's a major, major problem. Akers 40th on my board. Not there yet. He's not there yet.
Allen Robinson, you have to make a choice if you're starting Allen Robinson. You can bet on the possibility of Sean McVay continuing to try to get the football to him in the end zone. You can also look at the reality. He's got two catches in two of his three games so far this season. 4.5 fantasy points in two of three games this year with Allen Robinson. Dance with the devil. Dance with Tyler Fulgham if you want to.
He's been used like a third string tight end who they only throw fades to near the goal line. That's basically how he's been used. He is 69th in fantasy points. Criminal. He's not been over 53 yards, but he's fifth in expected touchdowns.
Will Ben Skoranek end up being the wide receiver two for the Rams by the end of the season?
The reason he won't, I think, is because when Van Jefferson comes back or Odell Beckham comes back, which is possible, Skoranek's the one who goes to the bench.
By midseason, maybe.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to a couple pieces of good news. Tyler Higbee continues to be a very, very heavily targeted tight end. He is tight end 6 on the ESPN consensus board. Now, as Daniel mentioned earlier in the week, San Francisco has allowed very few fantasy points to opposing tight ends. My contention is that's more about who they've played and the circumstances under which they've played, right? A monsoon in week one certainly contributes to that. Feel good about Tyler Higbee. Jeff Wilson's the guy again, and feels like you feel good about him too, Mike. He's inside all of our top 20.
Yeah, 15-plus touches and 100-plus yards in each of the last two games as the lead back. Anytime a guy is delivering that and clearly the number one, especially in a decent Niners offense, you're going to have him in your lineup. So he's 16th on my board. I will say this, though. No running back has reached 10 fantasy points against the Rams so far this season. So that adds a little.
That's about to change.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'm betting on it because I haven't projected for more than that.
We said this before the start of the season. The Niners, when they have their feature back, whoever it is, because it's constantly been a rotation because of injury, that guy gets the heaviest amount of carry. He's got 88.2% of the running back touches. Sounds like a lot till you start thinking about the fact that they have other people running the ball besides their running back. So he is going to be the one if they produce there.
By the way, our friend Adam Schefter yesterday said keep an eye on Tevin Coleman on the practice squad. Could be called up and play a role at some point. So keep
last
that in mind.
Last one here, Stefania. Brandon Ayuk has a pretty good chemistry with Jimmy G. He seems to prefer, Jimmy G does, throwing the ball to Ayuk.
Yeah, and Brandon Ayuk's evolved. I mean, we all remember last year when there was that rough start and Kyle Shanahan really didn't have him playing at all, said he needed to see some more from him, and Brandon Ayuk elevated himself to the challenge. And I think, you know, in the early part of camp, there was a really nice chemistry between Trey Lance and Brandon Ayuk. Spent a ton of time together during the offseason. But if you watch late last year, He rose with Jimmy G at quarterback. When they needed Brandon Ayuk to step up late in the season, he definitely became a bigger part of the passing game. So hopefully that connection clicks. We sure need it in San Francisco.
How about this? A little bit of news at the end of the show. Amon-Ra St. Brown's been ruled out by Lions forced to find. What's going on there?
Well, you know, we thought that that might happen. He had an ankle injury in the game. Yep. Now they seemed comfortable that it wasn't a kind of like a better than it could have been situation, but it was looking like he might miss because he was not able to go fully in practice this week. So
it'll be no St. Brown.
No,
very unlikely
DeAndre Swift.
So we're looking at Jamal Williams as a must start at running back. Honestly, TJ Hawkinson,
come on,
slight
DJ
bump.
DJ Chark.
Yeah, there you go. Wide receiver DJ Chark and Josh Reynolds, both flex options.
Pretty much rooting for only my fantasy players right now.
Oh my God. What? I mean, it's just, and we keep, I've mentioned before, Lions go Seattle, New England, bye. So right now, if you're sort of keeping your eye on these players that might be available or might not be, they could also be playing the long game. Not the long game, but sort of like the medium game here, right? Do you risk not having those players available for an extended period of time?
DeAndre Swift, I definitely think, could push for the bye. Yeah. Amon-Ra St. Brown might have a better chance.
Yeah, okay. So we'll see whether Amon-Ra is back in week five. I miss you already, my friend. Before we say goodbye here, Mike, one more piece from you.
Yes, Hot Ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. And my hot ticket this week, I'm going to stick with Chris Olave. Even with the quarterback change, first in air yards, top 20 in routes, targets, catches. He's seventh in yards at wide receiver as a rookie. 13 targets and 80-plus yards both of his last two games. The guy has been terrific. Bet on pedigree, and you will win Chris Olave, the hot ticket here in week number four.
There I think I picked him as my breakout wide receiver in the preseason.
Mm-hmm. You could pick any of them first-round receivers, and you're feeling good.
I know.
Second-year quarterbacks. First round wide receivers, money in the bank.
Do us a favor. Watch fantasy football now on Sunday morning. We have, obviously, a game going on. We're going to follow F1 coverage. It'll be on ESPN News to start, hopefully for not too long. We'll be on ESPN2 after that. We'll have all the latest. Christian McCaffrey, we'll tell you whether he plays. All those players we just gave you. Chris Godwin, Julio Jones, so many updates to come on Sunday morning. Nobody, and I mean nobody better to get that information from than Stefania Bell, who will also be on NFL Live later on today, breaking down the latest with Tua Tagovailoa. Until then, for Mike and Stefania, I am Fio. We're back Monday with everything that you need to know and we learned on Sunday of week four. Let's just not say a word and see what happens if we do.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us with advice that we really trust. She's our Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone. She's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.